What are the similarities between the founders of Islam and Mormonism? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is The American Muhammad, Joseph Smith, Founder of Mormonism. It's written by regular guest Dr. Alvin Schmidt. You can purchase The American Muhammad by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. The American Muhammad, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April.
As Christians, my family and I remember the incredible sacrifice Jesus made for each and every one of us, how he took on the sins of the world and extended the gift of salvation. And we recommit ourselves to following his example here on earth.
The problem here is that who cares what his opinion is? Our opinions do not rise to the level of Christian doctrine.
Satan has always been a used car salesman. He'll always want to sell you something that cannot happen and that will not work.
Hi, this is Eric, and I'm a steelworker from Pittsburgh, PA. With some noise reduction headphones and the new iPhone app, I listen to Issues Etc. all day long.
I was surprised to discover, because someone, one of our guests, years ago in discussing Mormonism, made a connection between Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, and Muhammad, the founder of Islam. And once you see that connection, you say, wow, there definitely is a parallel. But I was amazed to discover that that guest was not the first to notice it. Of course, I was not the first to notice it. In fact, it actually isn't just a coincidence between these two men, Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, and Muhammad, the founder of Islam. And that's just the first of many parallels. The parallels you can think of are actually rather remarkable. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Alvin Schmidt is going to join us. We're going to start a four-part series with him on the parallels between Joseph Smith and Muhammad today. Muhammad and Smith before they became self-proclaimed prophets. And then Joseph Smith kind of idolized Muhammad, modeled himself after Muhammad, and it's remarkable how much he actually did. A little bit later in the program, we're going to get into part six of our seven-part series on creation with Dr. Joel Heck, professor of theology at Concordia University, Texas. We'll be talking about literalism and the creation account. Now, you can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Dr. Alvin Schmidt is a regular guest. He's Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College, and he's author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April called The American Muhammad, Joseph Smith, the Founder of Mormonism. Dr. Schmidt, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you for having me.
You say that the stunning parallels between these two men, Joseph Smith and Muhammad, the vast majority of them are not mere coincidence. What do you mean by that?
Well, basically because a couple of reasons. One, as I argue and document, that certain people in history, prominent figures, sometimes do very similar things because, as often happens, they have something in common with humanity. But with Smith, it's even, and Muhammad, or with Smith following Muhammad, it's even more than that. I argue he also had a similar mindset, as did Muhammad. And he, as I document in the book, took Muhammad as his role model. He read the life of Muhammad. He, in one particular instance in the Missouri Mormon War, which most of the time never appears in history books, in 1838, said, paraphrased Muhammad, he said, as Muhammad said, Al-Quran or the sword? I say to you, Joseph Smith or the sword. Slightly changed the phrase in terms of what Muhammad said. And these are the examples. But the main part is they had a similar mindset. And if you have a similar mindset, then similar behavior will happen, in addition to the fact that he was familiar, obviously, with Muhammad, because the Missouri Republican, the newspaper in St. Louis at that time, documented that he had been reading in the months of June of 1838 6 months, basically, roughly before the Missouri Mormon War broke out, which lasted about 3 months. He was reading the life of Muhammad. Which particular life of Muhammad he read, I don't know. I suspect it might have been George Bush, who wrote a book by that title in 1831, so it would have been a relatively new publication. So he learned from him, and he probably learned from other sources as well. And numerous historians, both Mormon and others, often said that he tried to imitate Muhammad.
And, of course, you at the beginning of your research there, you give credit where credit is due, saying essentially many were noticing, not only journalists and casual observers of nascent Mormonism and Joseph Smith, but even historians have noticed the striking similarities between the two men. Walk us through some of that information, if you would.
Yes. For example, they have noted that, for example, as I said, newspaper, as soon, shortly after the Mormon church was founded in 1830, newspaper men in New York, because Mormonism, Joseph Smith founded Mormonism in Western New York, mentioned that he called him the American Mahomet, which was the Latin spelling, or the Yankee Mohammed, but they never, ever gave any evidence. And that's the intriguing thing about it. That's why it took me a long time to find the evidence. They used it sort of as a label and apparently assumed, and I think that what they assumed, and I mentioned that in the book, that he, like Muhammad, was an imposter. But they never provided any details, any analysis of it. And so it took a long time for me to find the, to put my finger on the specifics, so to speak. And that's basically the at the gist and at the center of the argument to how the parallels between him and Muhammad are so strikingly similar. And I document 70-some of them, which, of course, and by the way, some historians, mostly Mormons, have in recent years, in the 70s and in the 19s, said, well, this is simply a metaphor. There's never any evidence for it. And I cite those examples, but there was evidence, there is evidence, and my book provides it.
As a matter of history, I guess this is kind of the chicken and egg question, and maybe there is a response for this. Was Joseph Smith labeling himself in Mohammedan terms, which he obviously does at least once?
Yes.
Was he doing it before people were referring to him as the American or the Yankee Muhammad, or did they pick up on what he said of himself?
No, I don't think he did it before. 1831 was the first newspaper citation I can find that mentioned, that called him the American Muhammad or the Yankee Muhammad. He undoubtedly heard that and maybe even read it. And I think there's sort of an irony here in that may have brought about a self-fulfilling prophecy. What he heard as an epithet, as a criticism, early in his religious Mormon life, later on became fulfilled as he actually acted out the role, particularly as a fighting warrior in Missouri and in other contexts, for example, when he took to the sword, so to speak. You know, one of the parallels that I mentioned is both Muhammad and he had a lifeguard who was an assassin. And I document the Porter Rockwell, who served as his lifeguard and assassin, over against the lifeguard assassins that Muhammad had. So he evidently learned from Muhammad to do those things. I can't give you a chapter and verse citation, but the fact that he read the life of Muhammad, and he probably read, there were two other books that talked about the life of Muhammad 10 years before he was born, and he may very well have read those. What is often not quite accepted or understood, Joseph Smith only spent maybe 2 years in a grade school. And most scholars have believed that he was essentially illiterate, that he couldn't read and couldn't write. Well, neither one is really true. He was not a good writer, but I have cited in a document he did write, in fact, a few hours before he was assassinated in the prison in Carthage, he wrote a letter to his wife. He couldn't write well, but he could write. And when it comes to reading, he was a prodigious reading. I document people from who knew him in his first 10 years, roughly, or knew him for 10 years in New York, that he read all sorts of books. And I cite some of the books that he read. So he was a prodigious reader. And so it is not unlikely that he read, before even in Missouri, the life of Muhammad or about Muhammad. And the fact that newspaper men and others called him the American Muhammad probably, I think, functioned as a self-fulfilling prophecy. Maybe it made him think, well, maybe that's what I am after all, and I'll seek to follow him. He was naive in trying to follow him because he didn't have the wherewithal, the army and the disposable, for example, to take over the American West and Southwest, which he obviously, and I talk about, was dreaming to do. He didn't succeed in it. So I think that's basically he fulfilled a prophecy that was negatively directed to him by actually taking Muhammad as a role model and following a lot of his behavior.
When we come back from this break, we're going to delve briefly into the early life. Very little is known of Muhammad's early life, but Joseph Smith's early life is a little better chronicled. Some parallels there, even before these men decided to proclaim themselves as prophets of God, Joseph Smith and Muhammad, even before these occurrences in their life. There are also parallels between the two of them. Dr. Alvin Schmidt is our guest. It's Wednesday afternoon, the 3rd of April. It's part one of our four-part series on the parallels between Joseph Smith and Muhammad. Today, Muhammad and Smith before they proclaimed themselves to be prophets of God, and also, in particular, the militaristic bent that Joseph Smith seemed to have explicitly borrowed from the example of Muhammad in early Mormonism. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address, @issuesetc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be right back.
Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. Stephen Hine on the Consortium on Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education wishes to invite all Issues, Etc. listeners to its 13th annual conference hosted by Concordia Theological Seminary this July 16th through the 18th. For the first time, we will be featuring three-day intensive in-service opportunities in such areas as teaching Latin, classroom design and management, Christian and non-Christian worldviews, classical Lutheran pedagogy. Please join us for our best conference yet.
You can find out more about the Consortium on Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ccle.org, ccle.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Whether vacationing in Branson or boating on Table Rock Lake, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Kimberling City, Missouri is your Christ-confessing congregation. Every week, Christ comes to us through the preached word and sacraments, by which we are strengthened and kept in the one true faith. So come to where Christ comes to you. Come to Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church, 103 Kimberling Boulevard in Kimberling City, Missouri. For more, see our website at sothl.com.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Alvin Schmidt is our guest as we begin a series with him on the parallels between Joseph Smith and Muhammad. He's going to be lending his considerable expertise and his research on the issue of Islam to our upcoming Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. It's coming up June the 14th and the 15th, Friday and Saturday there, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. It's going to feature Dr. Alvin Schmidt, among many others, making the case against Islam. We'll also have Dr. Rod Rosenblatt of the White Horse Inn, Pastor Will Whedon, who's Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Chris Rosebrough of Fighting for the Faith, Suzanne Venker, author of The Flip Side of Feminism, Dr. Schmidt, and I'll be there as well, making the case for confessional Christianity. It's the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June the 14th and Saturday, June the 15th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information on the conference and to register, you can go to our website, issuesetc.org. You can send an email to conference@issuesetc.org, or give Craig a call right here in the studio, 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. Ask for Craig. It's the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June the 14th and Saturday, June the 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. $100 per person, and you can register online, issuesetc.org. Dr. Schmidt, let's talk a little bit about what we know in terms of early life for both of these men. Muhammad's very sketchy. Joseph Smith is a little more. But what parallels did you find in their pre-prophet lives?
Yeah, one of the parallels between the two of them is that in their first marriage, they were faithful to their wife. Smith, a lot shorter period of time than Muhammad. But after Muhammad's first wife died, he soon married another. And then, only days later, he married a third, namely a six-year-old girl, and then consummated the marriage at eight, when she was 9 years of age. Now, Smith was apparently about 3 years faithful to his first wife, and then he began to philander and take spiritual wives, as he called it. So that's one of the parallels that we have between them in terms of their early life. But I might also mention that, for example, there were other things that were somewhat like or similar. Muhammad was initially a very upright, honest individual, and that's why the woman who was a widow asked him to marry her. She was 15 years his senior. Smith, of course, in Western New York, worked for a while with his father and for his father-in-law, but he never really took to it. He always wanted to be involved in some kind of esoteric searching for treasure in hidden hills and mountains and the like. And then when we move on in their life, for example, Smith began to deviate, as did Muhammad. Muhammad deviated both in terms of taking other women, other wives, and Smith did it too. Muhammad deviated in terms of picking up the sword. Smith soon did the same thing as he moved from New York to Kirtland, Ohio, and then from Kirtland, Ohio to the Kansas City area, or Independence, as we would say today. So there are some early similarities between them. And both of them, as I'll point out later in the book, had a tremendous high sexual desire and drive. And so that was evident pretty early in their life as well.
Let's talk about one of the first most striking evidences of not just a parallel, but actually influence of at least Muhammad's example on Joseph Smith, and that is the early militaristic bent of Mormonism.
Yes, and that is a factor that is commonly not known, and but it's easily documented in history. Particularly, the best example of it was in Missouri, but it also was fostered in Nauvoo. Basically, in 1838, from August the 6th through October the 31st, there was a violent war conducted by Joseph Smith leading the Mormons. He naively dreamt that he could, I would argue, equal Muhammad by taking over the state of Missouri, and eventually he was hoping even to be able to take over the western part, southwestern part of the United States, and I document this, even requested special requests from Congress, which, of course, was summarily ignored. But he had, as I said earlier, a bodyguard assassin, as did Muhammad. And his bodyguard assassin in Missouri was Porter Rockwell, actually a distant second cousin of his, as I believe, a bearded, unkempt individual who was loyal to the end of his life to Smith and later on to Brigham Young in Utah. So, in fact, he was even taken to court, charged, for example, for having tried to kill and he wounded the governor in Missouri, Lilburn Boggs, who survived, oddly enough, after having been shot in the head at night while he was reading at a lamp near his window. Again, the evidence was quite enough to convict him. And Smith, by the way, was also sought by Missouri when he was in Nauvoo for his complicity in the particular act. In fact, there was a time when Smith was in Nauvoo and Porter Rockwell was gone, and a friend of his asked him where Rockwell was. He says he went to Missouri to fulfill a prophecy, and that was just before Governor Boggs was shot. And so there is the militaristic, the violent aspect on the part of Smith. And as I said a little while ago, when he cited in his speech on October the 14th in 1838 in the town called Far West, which is no longer in existence today, he said, as Muhammad said, Al-Quran or the sword, I say to you, Joseph Smith and the sword. And he even mentioned more specifically, they pointed out that the blood would flow in terms of his actions. So there you have the militaristic strain that is often not known. In fact, we often tend to hide it, or the media does, in terms of the militaristic posture and violence that Muhammad engaged in for a long time. So that, I think, answers basically your question.
It sounds as though also, based on your research, that that Joseph Smith's closest associates, if not picking up on the Mohammedan connection, at least on the militaristic goals of Mormonism, you cite Sidney Rigdon and
yes,
a sermon that he preaches that seems to, in some ways, at least anticipate, if not in some ways, kind of lay the groundwork for the Missouri's Mormon War.
Yes, Sidney Rigdon was Smith's right hand, so to speak, from the very beginning of Mormonism. And he was much better educated. Much of it was self-taught, but he was much better educated. He was an excellent speaker. Smith was not a good speaker. And he gave a speech often in June of 1838 in Missouri, in Far West, the town of Far West, often called the Salt Sermon, where he used the example, if salt has lost its savor from the Gospels, it is to be stepped on. In other words, what he was talking about here, all those Mormons, and there were always some Mormons who were reluctant, or dissenters, as they were often called, would suffer a similar fate. And this, he also organized an army or a semi-military group called the Danites, who functioned as Smith's military guards and also were to and did engage in the Missouri Mormon War to fight the non-Mormons in terms of trying to take over that part of Missouri. Of course, they failed and then were expelled by the state and went from there in early 1839 to Nauvoo. But even when he was in Nauvoo, he built up the Nauvoo Legion, which had, by the time of his death, 5,000 armed men, largest, almost as large as the American army at that time. And he was functioning as a military general, was proud of it, drew parades, and the city of Nauvoo at this time was roughly 15,000 in size, about the size of Chicago. And again, he held parades on stage, dressed flamboyantly, you might say, in a general's uniform in which he took great pride. And again, you can see there a great deal of attempt on his part to emulate Muhammad.
With only about 30 seconds here, do we have any words from Joseph Smith himself as to what he personally thought of Muhammad as a figure, with only about 30 seconds?
Yeah, I make a mention in the book, for example, that he felt Muhammad was falsely maligned, just like he was falsely maligned. And that's, and I quote him, it's not exactly the quote I give you now, but it's quoted exactly in the book. He believed Muhammad would be lied falsely, and like he was. And so again, there's another example of him identifying with the man.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt is Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College. He's author of the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for April, called The American Muhammad, Joseph Smith, Founder of Mormonism, Unveiling Parallels Between Two Self-Proclaimed Prophets. You can find out more about this book first at our website, issuesetc.org. You can browse before you buy. Or give Concordia Publishing House a call and order a copy of The American Muhammad by Dr. Alvin Schmidt. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for April, The American Muhammad. And tomorrow we'll talk with Dr. Schmidt about the religious parallels, and these are truly remarkable, between Muhammad and Joseph Smith. Dr. Schmidt, look forward to tomorrow's conversation.
Yeah, so do I. Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time in a subject that we have been spending a lot of time in lately, as we've been doing a 7-part series on creation with Dr. Joel Heck. Part 6 comes up after the break. We're going to talk about literalism, the genre of the Genesis account. What kind of literature is it? And the creation account that we find there in the first 2 chapters of Genesis. Dr. Joel Heck will be our guest. It's April the 3rd. This is Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over 2 centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Seek out that clear teaching. That's why Issues, Etc. is so great.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, on the value of Issues, Etc.
I can't speak highly enough of the times in my life, previous to seminary especially, where it was my lifeline. It was giving me the food that I needed, the clear thinking Christianity, to be able to know what I believed and why I believed it.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. Issues, Etc. IssuesETC.org.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
The sharpest arrow in your apologetics quiver. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. St. Mark Lutheran, Edmond, Oklahoma; Emmanuel Lutheran, Manchester, New Hampshire; University Lutheran Chapel, Minneapolis, Minnesota; Prince of Peace Lutheran, Freedom, Pennsylvania; Holy Cross Lutheran, O'Fallon, Missouri; St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana; Christ Lutheran, Rochester, Minnesota; Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa; St. Peter's Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana; and Grace Lutheran, Wellsville, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a 1-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues, Etc. 300.